this account of how God was instructing his people, in the first reading of the book of Exodus. Moses was the mediator, and God spoke to Moses, as it says elsewhere, like as to a friend. Whoever this Moses is, you see, he's one of the greatest figures in world history. Through him came the Jewish people, who, you know, now for three millennia have witnessed to the reality, the majesty, the uniqueness of God, one true God. And so this part here speaks about the radiance of his face. He was so radiant when he came out that he had to cover his face because they were scared. Now, if you remember, Paul takes this incident and says, not now, because you see, we all have the Holy Spirit. And so nobody has, and all of us with faces unveiled are gazing at the Lord and being transformed from glory to glory. And we can have as much transformation as we want. Just keep yielding to the Lord. And so that's the basic message of this first reading today. And how Paul picks it up there in the letter to the Corinthians. We all have unveiled faces. We don't need a veil, because now we see God in the flesh. We know who he is now. We've heard him talk with a human voice. He had people remember what he said and write it down, and here it is. And that's what we have in the second reading, right? What's Jesus saying? Let me tell you something. The kingdom of heaven is worth everything you've got. Everything you've got. Trade it all to possess the kingdom of heaven. It's worth it. Now, the kingdom of heaven is that environment in which the presence and saving power of Almighty God is present and experienced. That's the kingdom of God. If you're called into the kingdom of God, don't matter what it costs you, enter. Sell all you've got. And so he gives these two examples. You see, like a treasure buried in a field, person finds and hides again. Out of joy, goes and sells all that he has, all that he has, and buys that field. See, that's what Ignatius did, right? He sold out completely. And the Lord worked on him. He was a very aggressive fellow. He's an officer in the army. Very proud to be fighting on the side of the king, till that cannonball changed his whole life. And then he was reading romantic novels. You probably just heard all this, right? He was reading about, not romantic like sexual, but romantic like, you know, great warriors going out and beating up everybody and marrying the princess and all that stuff. And then he started reading the lives of saints, like our little book there, you know, Saint Today. And he was reading them. And he had this funny experience. He said, you know, I finished reading this stuff about, you know, the great kings and warriors. And when I'm finished, the novels about that. And I'm pretty dried out. When I read about the saints, I have a great peace. This was his first discernment in his life, you see. How come? You know, this gets me all excited, but it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. This I desire deeply. It brings me great peace. This must be the way to go. First discernment. And that's, see, from that comes the whole exercises. God wants to talk to people. Karl Rahner has a commentary on the exercises. And he said, you've got to remember that the basic principle of the exercises that Ignatius lays out for us is that God talks to people. That's the basic principle of the exercise. In other words, the charismatic renewal. And he formed this cadre, you see, and said, look, if you guys want to be serious, this is the way you go. And he spotted guys like Francis Xavier. Francis was a very promising scholar, probably going to go on to be a lawyer. And Ignatius, being a soldier, wasn't afraid, you know, to bother people. He would every day go to Francis Xavier and say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? Every day, till he finally won him over. That's work, right? I mean, get lost, you know, what are you bothering me for? There's lots of students, go talk to them. No, God wants you. And when Francis was in India, this is very charismatic, he taught the little kids to pray over one another and got healed. So when they were at home, the parents said, how come you're healed? Well, this man told us, showed us, so they all come out. That's how he got to preach to the adults. I don't know what doctrine this guy is teaching, but if he can heal me, man, I'm going out and talk to him, you know? See, and then it's like a merchant searching for fine pearls. Finally finds one. It's worth everything I've got. And our Lord is saying, he sells all that he has and buys it. And that's the encouragement. Am I worth it, he's saying? Sell everything. You know, cash in. Follow me. I mean, oh, yeah, all right, but, you know, I got to, you know, check my bank account. I got to, you know. Look, just come to me and I can make the rest clear and easy. Whatever it is. It's, and Ignatius is a great example. And of course, he was a psychologist before the time. He knew the dynamics of the human spirit, of the human mind and imagination. How do you bring somebody from A to B? Well, there's these ejercicios, and this is the way. And that those exercises have changed how many lives? And they're not a gimmick, you know. They're based on very profound psychological and spiritual laws that God showed Ignatius because he lived through them. So we should pray that the Lord continue to raise up people like Ignatius to respond to the needs of our time, to inspire people, you know, and for us too. For us to be radical. The world needs it. This country needs it. People who are radical, who love Jesus more than anything else, get insulted, get hungry, get whatever. So what? So we should pray to him today for that.